the microscope down and magnify the work here in the of the Presbytery of the Southwest. And so that's our plan. Go through some pictures, learn about church planting, starting new churches in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, learn something about what is this individual that we've come to know as a regional home missionary in the OPC. And then, like I say, something about planting churches in the presbytery itself here. I'd like to begin with reading some a text out of Philippians chapter 1. And I hope to be able to maybe, sprinkle in one or two things about the importance of being Reformed and being Presbyterian in terms of planting churches. I'd like to kind of sprinkle that in just a little bit, maybe once or twice, highlight a feature or two for you based on Scripture of what drives the OPC. When you have a little meter that's, dancing back and forth, that meter on a needle in the meter, and you say there's some activity here going, there's something important here going on. One or two items I'd like to point out in terms of some scripturally based matters of planting churches. In Philippians chapter 1, we pick up the first one here I'd like to point out to us, even as we begin with these slides. Listen to the word of God. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes on to unfold words of thanksgiving, especially how he's thankful to the Lord for the Philippians and their partnership with him in ministry. But note how he opens the letter even before this grace wish that he presents, grace and peace to you. Before he gets to those words of salutation, he has these words, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. So he's not alone in terms of carrying out ministry. He has Timothy right beside him. He's going to reference a little bit more, a servant that came from Philippi that he himself benefited greatly from, Epaphroditus. And so Paul is not alone. When it comes to planting churches, the OPC in a Reformed context and Presbyterian context is concerned that indeed from the very beginning, there's more than one leader on the scene. And that gets trickled down then in a particular application, more than one leader on the scene in that town, in that city, that more than one leader beginning to do some work with a gathering group of interested persons. It trickles down, even Paul referencing it here now in this passage, to the fact that it's important that there's a growing sense that we want to be calling elders and deacons. Leaders are always on our minds, and that's what he has here. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops, it also might be translated there, elders, with the elders and the deacons. And deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. How important it is to keep that principle in mind. Right early on, we in the OPC, we try not to linger long where there might be a regional home missionary who's beginning to meet some folks in a neighborhood or a given community. But early on, we want to be demonstrating we're not alone. There's not a solo pastoral figure. There's not a solo elder-like candidate. Leadership and developing the idea of a plurality, more than one plurality of men who will be on site and at hand and eager to serve, that it has that corporate nature already, not some solo man out there, you know, with some distance between he and sheep. And so, no. It's a plurality of men that we have an eye on. Paul is with Timothy in this case. We know that he traveled with other companions, Barnabas and Silas and so on and so forth, Luke. And so how important it is to keep that principle in mind in church planting. That's Philippians chapter 1, a little bit of a concept of leadership and how important that is with respect to church planting. Let me tell you a quick story. Peggy, my wife, sitting over here, just yesterday morning, we met with a couple down in Richmond, Texas. And that's where we live. It's about an hour southwest of Houston, downtown proper of Houston. So in Richmond, we met with a young couple yesterday, And it was a wonderful meeting. This couple is beginning to, we've had contact with them over the last couple of months about the idea of maybe planting a church in Richmond, the OPC planting there in Richmond. And we've been developing a friendship with them, largely telephone and email from Oregon over here to Texas. But yesterday was our first time to meet with them. Dear couple. And in the course of that conversation with them, they asked this question. They said, Pastor Mark, you know, we've attended one of our OPC churches in North Houston two or three times. It is a drive for us, and it is. It's a drive for them to go to the north part of the metro area there in Houston. We're struggling. We're wrestling. We've been attending another congregation, evangelical Bible teaching congregation there in town, near Richmond. But we're pausing to ask this question. Do you think we might want to get more involved at this, the name of this case, in this case, the name of the church is Cornerstone OPC there in Northwest Houston. And so we pondered that question a little bit, but it was so good for them to ask that because that led us right into talking about the importance that even though Mark and Peggy are there in Richmond and we're beginning to meet folks in Richmond to start a church, we right away told them, you know, it's important that we would talk with Pastor Adam York, another OPC pastor in Houston, and the Pastor Robert Arendale of Cornerstone, where this couple has been attending a few times, to get their feedback. I told them that. I said, you know, it's important that maybe we check in with the pastors of the existing churches. Why? Because it's on our minds that we're not out here doing something on our own. We want to be connected with churches and with pastoral leadership in carrying out this service. And so Grant and Sarah, their names, they were very open to that. They said, you know, let's check in with them because, indeed, if something begins to get started in Richmond, from the very beginning point here, we want to have a connectional relationship with one or both of those Houston churches and the elders and the pastors that are serving there. And so they were very, very open. That's just an example where we're getting to talk about that already. And we have not even had a first informational organizational meeting just yet to talk about the idea of planting a church in Richmond. So that's important. That's a good principle to keep in mind as we go along here. Leadership being connectional and in that way learning to show a plurality of leadership. And how in the OPC we seek to strive. Is it hard? But we seek to strive to practice that Ephesians 5:21 passage to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ from the very beginning, a practice of submission to one another as brothers and sisters. Okay, I have a few slides I'd like to go through here with you. In home missions is about serving and about serving us as even a new congregation. I've got a quote up here on the screen, and it talks about the fact that this might be a mission statement. This might be a purpose statement, what drives a home missions committee in its work. The primary task of the missions committee is to promote within the regional church awareness of, concern and zeal for, and active participation in outreach to non-believers with the gospel of Christ for the glory of God for the edification of the church. Notice in the middle of the quote there, your home missions committee and many home missions committees, I should say committees around the country, the USA, we've got about 17 presbyteries, 17 regions where there's been a gathering, a recognized boundary and gathering of churches in these regions around the country. It's all geographical in terms of its demarcation and how we designate such things. But these missions committees would have this kind of a statement that is their purpose. Why do they exist? They're here to serve us as the church, but to do what? We want to promote the awareness of gospel work in reaching out. We want to be able to promote concern and zeal for and active participation in outreach to non-believers. Maybe your pastor has mentioned to you already, even in maybe just some smaller groups of visitation in your home or maybe from the pulpit here for some, you know, in some context. But the idea is that church planting, starting new churches is a fundamental way of how new people are reached with the gospel. You know, there are those who are completely out of reach. That's to say, where a new church might come into their area, there's an opportunity to minister to them. They might be underreached in terms of those that are underfed. not being taught the full counsel of God, Genesis through Revelation. And so it's important that through church planting to keep in mind, it's one of the fundamental ways that the gospel is going out in a very deliberate way. Hey, a new church is in town. It's very natural for that new church to be carrying out visitation or calling on folks or meeting more people and telling them about the gospel and the work of the local church. So this is what interests home missions committees around the country, and even our home missions committee here in the Presbytery of the Southwest. This would characterize their interest as well. All right. Are these guys outlaws? All right. We've got an answer. Yes. You probably recognize a few of these men. I point these fellas out because over on the left, the three fellas just to the left next to your pastor there, all the way to the left is Joe Troutman. And then right in front of him next would be Chad Bond. And then next is Robert Arendelle. Those three men serve on the missions committee for the Presbytery of the Southwest. And so in many respects, I'm interacting with those men, and there's a few others, there's two other men, on a regular basis in terms of my own work. But I put this picture up just to remind us that leadership in the local church involves a number of men, and the exercise of gifts and the exercise of their experiences and their background and their training and their positions, their theological positions. It is truly out of what the Proverbs tells us, the iron that sharpens iron, that the work of the gospel goes forward. And what binds us together is Christ and his word. Remember what he told his disciples at the very end of his ministry, to go and make disciples. How? Baptizing and teaching. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so teaching is fundamental, and this happens even in committee work as we're wrestling through measures and applications and opportunities. But I wanted to put this up here just to remind you that you're some of the men that you know and you're getting to know are very, very involved here with missions work. A passage here to remind us of our work. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his strength. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. As Jeremiah goes on, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. Here's a picture of one of our churches in South Central Florida. And they're carrying out ministry on a regular basis, going over to Naples, Florida. So an existing church helping a brand new church, an existing church in South Central Florida, helping a brand new church in Naples. And in this regard, this is an English as a second language kind of a ministry to folks in Florida there. And it's a wonderful opportunity where an existing church is building friendships. Fundamentally, that's the bottom line. Friendships with folks who are coming to learn English as a second language. And it becomes a way and a means of developing friendships around the things of the gospel. So in this regard, it's an existing church helping a brand new church to get started with these relationships that are being built and further discussion about the gospel. Regional home missionaries. What is a regional home missionary? They're integral to the part of home missions. God has used their labors to establish many Orthodox Presbyterian churches. And right even here in the Presbytery of the Southwest, these men serve as church planting representatives of their presbyteries, and they meet with groups interested in establishing new mission works. They provide wisdom and counsel to organizing pastors and supervising sessions. Maybe I should stop there. Let's get one more paragraph up here. They also assist Presbytery home mission committees with their expanding administrative responsibilities and an enlarged OPC in the process of finding, calling, and caring for evangelists who become new church planters. You have had a regional home missionary over the years. I believe the previous regional home missionary served for around 20 years, I believe. It's like 17, 18, 19 years for many, many years. And so the past, almost now, past 5 years, you've not had a regional home missionary right here in the Presbytery of the Southwest. So this is all brand new once again for the two of us and in my work, brand new to be called here to this presbytery to serve along with the Home Missions Committee and under the authority of the presbytery to help with the planting of churches, even as it goes on to describe here the work and the nature of that work of a regional home missionary. But it's quite a delight to be a part in the OPC, to be a part of the OPC in this regard. I believe there are 9 home missionaries around the country. A couple of those are part-time. And so, for example, the Presbytery of Philadelphia, the Presbytery of the Midwest, the Presbytery of Southern California, the Presbytery of the Southeast, the Presbytery of the Mid-Atlantic. So you see, you can start hearing all these regions around the country. And these presbyteries have called a man to be an evangelist to serve with that title and role as a regional home missionary. And this describes some of that work that they carry out. Maybe I should stop. Questions so far just about some of the background of leadership, some of the background of a regional home missionary, the background of home missions and the work of home missions. You know, we think of foreign missions going overseas, right? Well, this is here in the U.S. and seeking to do home missions, reaching out to expand the gospel and the work of the church.
Hey,
yes, sir.
Just real briefly, do you know how many current OP mission works there are throughout the country?
I do. Great question. Over the past handful of years, typically there have been about 50. So just even as yourself, you've recently experienced the matter of, you know, being a mission work and so on and so forth, you share that same stewardship of roughly 50 other mission chapels that are currently being funded around the country to carry out the very work of getting that church established, seeking to see that church established and flourishing and growing and self-supporting. Great question. Very, very good. Okay, something about Mark and Peggy, something about the Sumters here. A map of the western U.S. here, and you see top left up there, the purple state, Oregon. For the last good 13 years, that's been our home. We're from the Northwest. And in the course of time over the past couple of years, the Presbytery of the Southwest has been in contact and has said, hey, Mark, we really would like to be able to have a man come. Would you at all be interested? And those conversations started. And all that whole process about being able to go south and to go east and to leave the state of Oregon and to come to Texas here. These are our grandkids. And it's a delight to share with you. Just some, we have 6 grandchildren. They're scattered around the Northwest. Some are in Idaho. Some are in Washington State up near Seattle. Our youngest is still in Grants Pass, Oregon, southern Oregon. Grants Pass is about an hour and 20 minutes just north of the California border, where we've lived. And so, our kids, our own children are scattered around the country. And, we have, 4 of our children that are married. And here are our grandchildren with a couple of more on the way. So it's a delight to, share with you something of our family story. Well, Mark, what about your own church planting experience? There's that young bronc. Look at that guy over there on the left. And Peggy's right beside him there. This is about 1992, and this is up in Wasilla, Alaska. All right, you've heard of Sarah Palin, right? All right, there you go. Sarah Palin was on the city council at the time that we were up there. Alaska really is our home. Although I was born in South Louisiana, I am a Cajun. And my dad was a directional driller in the Gulf, so I have 3 older brothers. They came along in Corpus, in Kingsville area, down south of us here. My dad and mom moved on over to Louisiana because he was still working in the Gulf. I came along then. But then in the mid-60s, he started working up in Alaska with all the big petroleum boom up there. And so in the mid-60s, we moved up there. So my middle and upper elementary years, junior high years, high school years are all up in Alaska. Peggy's father and family, mom and dad and family, they moved up to Alaska as well as part of the petroleum boom up there. And so we met each other in high school. Well, here I am. I'm going to fast forward the story now. I'm almost done with seminary. I'm down in Escondido, California, going to Westminster Seminary in California in the early 80s. And so we're marching through the 80s. And I'm at a OPC youth camp. Let's see. Ian is sitting there with his dad. Is it Caitlin back? Caitlin, is that Caitlin? Caitlin, hi, honey. I remember being at summer camp. I don't know if the boys were there at camp this summer or not that are sitting in the back row there, but when I was at youth camp, this kind of story reminds me. When I was at youth camp this summer, I'm kind of reminded of this story here. I'm at another youth camp. This is a winter camp in Southern California, and I'm with a few other pastors and other OPC folks carrying out this OPC youth camp. And one night late in a bunk, you know, middle of winter, up in the mountains, the High Sierras, Southern California, we're carrying out this youth camp. One of the other fellows who's, I believe, a licentiate at that point, he's in process of becoming a minister. He said, "Hey, Sumter, aren't you from Alaska?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, Peggy and I were kind of raised up there. That's kind of home for us." And he said, "They're trying to start an OPC up in Alaska. You need to go there. That's your home." And that's how that started. So at a youth camp one night, this gentleman says, "You need to consider this." Well, the story goes along, and sure enough, I was contacted by the OPC, and they invited me to consider this of going up to Alaska. So in 89, we went up to Alaska to do church planting right there in Wasilla. When we arrived, there were about 26 people there, four families. And, I cut my teeth on those families. They were tremendously patient with me, learning the ropes. I'm 31, 32 years of age at the time, trying to feel my way along to be a pastor. You talk about distance church planting. Our session was 1,500 miles away in Eugene, Oregon. And so when it came to oversight, back then we'd get a speaker, a telephone in the middle of the table with a speakerphone, and all of us as men would sit around that table, and I'd be accountable to elders and a pastor in Eugene, Oregon. And so that's how they carried out their shepherding care. We received a lot of visits in those years. Pastor from Eugene would come up. Ross Graham, you may know that name, a general secretary for home missions for a number of years. Ross would come up and visit us. A number of pastors would come up and do conferences for us. And that way we tried to have a connection with all of our brothers and sisters here in the lower 48. But we were in Alaska for 5 years and planting the church, and the Lord blessed that ministry. We were on the receiving end of a number of mission teams that would come up to Alaska to help us. So these would be college students and high school students and adults. Elders and deacons and pastors would come up, and they would serve alongside of us. Let me tell you one quick story. One year, we did a picnic for the community for all of the emergency medical services personnel in Wasilla. So you're thinking about EMTs. You're thinking about search and rescue, fire search and rescue personnel. I had become a chaplain to serve EMTs and first responders in difficult situations, accidents, and so on and so forth. Getting to know the team of EMTs and then the supervisory committee board for the EMS, Emergency Medical Services, there in Wasilla, I went to them and I said, "Do you mind if we put on a thank you picnic for the entire staff?" We had over 100 come out to this picnic, and we're just a wee little church, you know, chapel. But it was a great opportunity. Our Sunday school classes, our children, they made little gifts and things to give away having to do with scriptural messages we gave away to the children of these EMS workers. The primary reason we did that, truly the primary reason, was simply to make more friends in Wasilla. We wanted to meet more people. And the Lord used that ministry. We had such a great turnout. We found that some of these folks would later see us in the grocery store, see us down the street and say, "Hey, aren't you the pastor guy?" You know, that kind of thing. It was just a great way to meet more people. That was one way. And we had three OPC pastors come up during that time. They actually came up to do some teaching. But while they were here with us in Alaska, we tried to dovetail that ministry. So I had additional pastoral support. Maybe you know the name Don Poundstone. Don's been in the church, the OPC, for a long time. He's just a little guy. He was reared in the church. His daddy was a minister in the OPC. Don was our very first pastor in Portland, Oregon, years ago. Well, Don came up, and was helping us out during that time. But it was great to have other brothers link in with us as we're carrying out ministry. And like I say, the picnic, as a thank you picnic for these folks and all their service in the community, was first and foremost a way to build friends. We wanted to build friends with others in the community, and that was when we did that. So that's a little bit of our background and our work. Much more recent, in the last 10 years here, our church in Grants Pass, where I serve as a pastor, we've had a mother-daughter situation. That's to say, a mother church, our own church in Grants Pass, planting a daughter church in Roseburg, Oregon. You probably have heard of Roseburg here very recently in the news, where the shooting just took place at Umpqua Community College. That's right there in the Roseburg area where we have a church now that's been planted there. That was a daughter church of the Grants Pass Church. So that's some of our background and experience as well, being able to serve in that capacity, kind of a mother-daughter situation there. What about the Presbytery of the Southwest? Well, the goal is to do lots of evangelism. We're very open even to doing door-to-door evangelism, hospitality evangelism, even outdoor and park evangelism. When we were with Grant and Sarah just yesterday, this young couple in Richmond, we talked just a little bit about door-to-door evangelism. How does the Word of God get out? How do we begin to meet more people in terms of, in this case, planting a church in Richmond? Well, one of the ways, and I know it's awkward and it's frightening, is to go door-to-door. And again, the primary reason to go door-to-door is to meet more people. It is not necessarily in order to, in fact, present the gospel. It is not necessarily to right there on the spot make sure we get an invitation to worship. No, the number one goal that we have found over the years in going door-to-door is just simply to meet more people. And how do you do that? You go back, and you go back at their permission, when they allow you to, and you go back, and you go back, and you go back. And it's been very rewarding in our experience. Out in Grants Pass, we had just moved to a brand new facility across town, brand new church building. Over the course of about 2 years, we went to over around, between 550 and 600 homes in our area. And I'm just going to be completely open, transparent with you folks. Out of the 550, 600 homes that we went and visited, there were probably about eight that allowed me. Now, we had several of us, not just Mark going, not just God going out, but there were, anywhere from 6, 7, 8, 9 of us to go out on a Saturday morning. But about eight of those families that said, yeah, why don't you come on back by if you're in the area? And we marveled at that. In some cases, we'd go back to pray because someone faced with cancer. In other cases, we'd go back and we would drop off some groceries. We'd learn in the course of visiting them, they were brand new in the area. In other cases, we'd go back and spend time with a couple that had been, in their words now, hurt by a local church and they weren't going back. But spending time with them to, befriend them in their words, where they'd gotten hurt. They'd been hurt somehow, some way. But going back and going back and going, for me as a pastor, and now let's translate that over here to Richmond, Texas. It is my hope that at least part of our work can be going door to door. And for me, it would be a great way for me to meet more people as a pastor. I don't, ordinarily a given work week for me, I'm not around a lot of non-believers or folks who are not frequenting a church. That's to say, getting around other folks. So I need to step out and meet those folks. And so going door to door has been an excellent way for me personally to be able to meet them. And boy, you bet, sometimes the door's shut. Please don't come back. But other times, Peg and I were at one door. We knock on the door. The Mrs. of the home opens the door. And in so many words, she says, I can't believe you're here. My husband has a lot of questions about where he's at, spiritually, what he's going through. Can you maybe come back? He's not here. And while we're talking at that moment at the door, the husband drives up, pulls out of his pickup truck, gets out of his pickup truck, walks up the walk, and he says, "Sure, come on in. Let's talk." I met with that man probably a dozen to 15 times. They eventually came to worship. They only came maybe three or four Sundays. But I'm still thankful for the opportunity to be able to minister in a case like that. Again, that sometimes it's a door slam, and sometimes you run into someone who would be very open. I've lingered on this because it's important that we're trying to think of ways to meet people, to build friendships, so that indeed the light of the gospel and the salt of the gospel itself and Jesus is being shown forth and scattered. These two brothers next to me here, I guess it would be there's Adam on your right and then Robert on the left there. These are the two Houston pastors. We're working close with them in terms of new churches to be started in Houston. Our goal is that, in fact, there might be two churches in the southern part of Houston. Hey, let me tell you a quick story. Mrs. Sumter, Peggy, I don't have a watch or my clock or phone. How are we doing here? All right, we're doing fine. Another 10 minutes, okay? Quick story here real fast. This is at youth camp this past summer down in Lakey, Texas, just south of San Antonio area where the OPC Southwest Presbytery holds their youth camp. Ian knows about this. I'm sitting on Monday night on the floor. I've got my clipboard with me. And another pastor, Phil Hodson, you might know that pastor's name, Phil Hodson. He serves our church in Longview. Pastor Phil and I, we're the camp cabin counselors. Ian's one of our campers. Remember that, Ian? You remember that? He's got his thumbs up. And the first night, Pastor Phil and I are going through the roll call. Braden, Brian, we're going through the roll call. I get down to a name, Preston Schwakafer, here. Doing the roll call. Preston raises his voice. "I'm here, Pastor Mark." Preston Schwakafer. That name stuck. Schwakafer. It took about a day. Next day at camp, I walked up to Preston and said, "Preston, do you have a grandpa named Randy?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." "Didn't Randy? Do you have a grandma named Lorraine?" "Yeah, yeah, 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 yeah." "Is your dad," and I later learned this because I called Preston's dad Jimmy. His name is James. I said, "Your dad, James?" "Oh, yeah." And Preston started beaming. "My dad's name James." I said, "Preston, I know your dad." I said, "I knew your dad when he was about right there." And they just laughed. They said, "Well, when did you know my I later met the other son, Noah. Noah and Preston Schwakafer in the picture here. Well, they said, when did you know our dad?" I said, "Well, I used to teach your dad in a youth Sunday school class when he was in 7th and 8th grade out in Escondido, California, when I was in seminary." James Schwakafer is one of our deacons in one of our Houston churches. And so it's funny now. And James and his boys, the boys came over to help us unload our truck 2-3 weeks ago. It's wonderful to see God's faithfulness through the course of the years and the promises of the gospel going forward. And now here are James. I just lost her name. Is it Bonnie. Here are their sons, and they have three other children as well. And just a delight to meet them. So it's a generational ministry that we've been taking part in. Here are the you see up the top of the screen, the two X's there that mark the spots of where we currently have our established OPC churches. The circles are the areas in Houston where we are seeking to get churches started. Right in the middle there is the memorial area. There's a gentleman who's been ministering for about almost a year now, it'll be a year later this month actually, with about 10 or 12 families. And he is slowly, he's had a good relationship with Adam York and Robert Arendelle, the two Houston pastors, slowly ministering in that context to where they may be. We don't know just yet, but it looks promising. They may be taking steps in the memorial area there, closer to the downtown area of Houston, to come into the OPC. Right now, they're independent. They're unaffiliated. These folks come from a variety of background, but it's a delight to hear about them. You see Richmond, where we live, and I've told you some of the history or some of the story that's beginning to unfold there. There are three couples that are there in Richmond. We've met two of the three now, and it looks promising that the four of us as families, the four of us as families would begin something in Richmond like with a Bible study. Clear Lake is in southeast Houston. I met with a gentleman about 10 days ago. He lives over that way. He's had some OPC background. And so there's some promise of just beginning to sow some seeds of learning about others in Houston as well. Let me mention to you about other activity, and this is Waco. You know Waco right up the road there with Baylor University. A little story. Your presbytery, the Presbytery of the Southwest, back right after the youth camp, so back in late June, so 2 or 3 months ago, paid for my way. They sent me to go back to the Washington, D.C. area to spend some time there getting some training about doing this regional home missionary work. So I spent some time with another regional home missionary. His name is Steve Doe. He serves in the mid-Atlantic states, Virginia, Washington, D.C., Maryland. And so Steve took me to two or three different places with him to tag along for 4 or 5 or 6 days to ask questions of him, learn about his ministry. It was a form of training. Well, one day on a Monday, he says, "Hey, Mark, let's drive over to Maryland. I want to meet up for lunch with a pastor." This pastor that we're going to meet, he is formerly, just recently, was serving as the committee chairman for home missions for Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Virginia. Let's go and talk with him and spend some time talking about what he knows, what he's learned about church planting. We did that. We're having lunch with this pastor, and toward the end of the lunch, he said, "Hey, Mark, before you leave lunch, I got to tell you something. There's a family leaving my church here in Southern Oregon." This pastor's talking, leaving my church here in Southern Oregon, and he's moving to Waco. I said, "Waco?" I said, "That's neat." And so I said, "Do you think there's any possibility before we leave this lunch, could we go by and see this family since I'm in the area?" He said, "Sure, let me call him up." So he called up the gentleman. And we went over to his home, and we met him. Samuel is his name. Samuel is moving his business. He works for himself, moving his business to Waco. They've now been in Waco for about 3 or 4 weeks. They arrived there actually 5 weeks, you know, kind of mid-late August is when they arrived there. But I got to meet Samuel. I prayed with Samuel in terms of getting to know him just a little bit, knowing that he was moving to Waco. And, of course, my antenna was just going up regarding his interest about Waco, because he said, "Yes, Mark, when we move to Waco, we would like to learn about the OPC coming to Waco." Because my antenna was going up because, again, back at youth camp, I tell you, this youth camp, man, it was a milestone for me. Back at youth camp, I met another girl standing in line. We're having lunch together, standing in line in the youth camp cafeteria. And I just got to know her. I said, "Hi, my name is Pastor Mark." And she introduced herself. And I said, "Well, where do you live?" She says, "Well, I live in Waco." And I said, "You live in Waco?" I said, "Well, we don't have an OPC in Waco. Where do you worship?" "Well, we worship in the Pflugerville Church." And so come to find out, there's a family that's worshiping there in Pflugerville, and they live in Waco. And I'm finding more information here about these families that live in Waco that have an interest. One more quick story about Waco. When I get back in the car after that lunch over in Maryland, when I get back in the car, we're driving down. Steve's driving. I'm in the passenger side. I'm on my little telephone, and I start thinking to myself, you know, there's another family that I've heard about in Waco. And I knew that he was a professor, is a professor at Baylor University. And so I found the registry of the professors at Baylor, and I found his name. And I saw that he had an email address. So I emailed him in the car there. I said, "Dear so-and-so, I don't know if you remember me or not, but I understand your name has been, I'm with the OPC. We have some interest in maybe planting a church in Waco." Basically, I asked him, "Are you interested?" Because he'd had OPC background. I'd heard that. He just shoots an email right back to me and says, "Absolutely, I'm interested." He's a large family. I think they have 7 or 8 children. Lord willing, I'm going to be able to meet them this week here in a few days when we go up to Waco to meet with these families. It is just mushrooming up in Waco. It's expanding rapidly. All of these families, there's probably now, I don't know, I'm starting to kind of lose track. It's 9, 10, 11 families. Some are students at Baylor. We know there are 2 professors at Baylor. Phil Hodson in Longview at Christ the King Church, one of his families just moved to Waco as well about 2 weeks ago. We're going to meet with them, Lord willing. Samuel, I told you, from Maryland. We have a we're trying to get a dinner appointment with them. It looks promising. We've not met these families except for Samuel. A lot of email, a lot of telephone work, but it's great to get to know them and to learn about what they're doing in Waco. And we'd like to, you know, meet those families and get more acquainted. You likely know, right, about Andrew and Billy Moody in terms of their work in San Antonio. And, you know, Andrew has been quite the church planter and quite active. Here's a picture of, I believe these are all of his own children here. I think he's getting the title Mr. Facebook, Mr. Facebook Ministry. You likely know more than I about this. Truly you do. Here's one of these sort of funny, whatever, unique stories about starting a Facebook page and people contacting Andrew as an OPC potential church planter in Houston when this happened. I imagine 5 and 6, 7 years ago when this happened, 5 years ago or so. And through a Facebook ministry began to meet men and women, youths and others interested in perhaps planting a church in Houston. And that's exactly what happened as things unfolded. I understand right now he's got a karate outreach ministry of some kind. I don't know exactly what he does with these classes, you know, chop chop and all, but he's I'm meeting people and expanding just his own knowledge with friendships and others through these families that he's becoming acquainted with. They've recently moved to a new facility in the near the downtown area, I should say, or actually it's really near the airport area of San Antonio, but a new facility where they're seeking again to gain a foothold there in ministry. This past summer, and again, Pastor Jim, you might help me on this. Did folks here at South Austin help with this outreach in San Antonio this past summer for a VBS outreach of some kind?
I think it was folks from the Pflugerville Church. You can see Donna and Dave Hall up there.
Okay.
He's an elder up at Pflugerville, and they brought, I think, one other family down.
Okay. All right. So that's another way where established churches are helping in a brand new church, in this case in San Antonio, to become that much more established with their outreach, helping this past summer doing some VBS outreach ministry. Certainly keep praying for Andrew and Billy Moody there in San Antonio as they seek to plant that church. A quick survey of, you know, some of these places that we're speaking about and some of the activity that are currently going on. And certainly New Mexico, Oklahoma, and the rest of Texas here. I spent some time with our two pastors in Albuquerque. The University of New Mexico there is in Albuquerque. There's interest. Oklahoma City is a possibility. Norman, Oklahoma, we have a church in Norman, but they're going through a phase now where they're wanting to restart their ministry. Almost, not quite say this, but it might communicate well, to replant their church. They recently sold a building, and now they're wanting to reestablish themselves. Corpus Christi, we've had one or two inquiries from Corpus. And then, of course, your own Dripping Springs, and what's going on? You know, is it 30, 40 minutes out of town here? Is that right about that? Yeah. And so the opportunity to see the church expand even there west of your own city here. That's what I have to present. And just to give you an overview of ministry and the flavor of home missions and an overview of the work of a regional home missionary, and then particularly some of these fields that have great promise where new churches would get started all by God's grace and by his strength and power. Questions, comments at all before we wrap up here? Questions? Yes, ma'am.
I just had a comment. I go back to the family in Providence in Pflugerville.
Okay.
So that church was being formed, and we were Bible studying in a work of San Antonio, of Grace in San Antonio. We have a regional home missionary named Glenn Black.
Oh, sure.
And he was a pilot. I think he was from Oregon.
He is. That's right. Exactly. That's right.
And he was a pilot because the presbytery at that point was presbytery of the Dakotas. But he was just great in terms of coming to us and doing just what they're doing. Here's what it means to be reformed. Here's what it means to be Presbyterian. Because so many of us came out of backgrounds that really didn't understand.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, wonderful man, and we thank you for sharing that. We certainly share that story about wanting to learn what it means to present the gospel and do the work of the gospel the Lord's way. You know, using the scriptures as our guide. Very, very good. Okay. Yes, sir. Is it Jeremy? Is there Jeremy? Yes.
No problem. You work with like other Reformed Presbyterian church planning, like Southwest Church Planning Network from the PCA.
I'm just now becoming aware of them, and I do plan to be interacting with them. Here's a quick example. Up in Waco, the Lord willing, this week, I do have an appointment with the PCA pastor in Waco, and it is intended to get to know each other, and in that regard, be sensitive to the fact that, you know, here's a reformed, if we might say it this way, network of churches, the umbrella groups that come under that confessional standard of the Westminster Synod. Yes.
Yeah, the PCA has the same kind of thing that they call Mission to North America.
Absolutely. Very good.
I served on the North Texas Presbytery.
How about that?
Outstanding.
I probably need to get your email or a phone number on you, Jeremy. It'd be great to just have that for reference. That'd be great. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Just a quick word again. The New Horizons, for those who weren't here beforehand, does have a nice write-up on Mark and his ministry and Peggy and the family. So if you don't get this magazine at your home yet, I'm going to leave a copy here. We're supposed to get extra copies. I haven't gotten extra copies yet, hopefully soon. But please feel free to avail yourself of this copy and get a chance to read about Mark and his family.
If you do want to take a newsletter here, this is even just a tad already out of date because there are more families that we're beginning to meet now. So where you might read, oh, there's three or four families in a given location, like in Waco, it's now been the 8, 9, and 10 families. But you're welcome. Maybe I can leave these on a table. Or you know what would be good? Maybe Ian, do you mind, son? Why don't you go ahead and pass these out, young man? And would a couple of the boys, you want to help, fellas, over here? Thank you, guys. You can just make sure all the grown-ups, you know, and young people get one of these. That'd be great. Thank you so very much. It's a little bit more information here that might be a way to remember what's going on. How about if I lead us in prayer, then we'll be dismissed. Our Father in heaven, you have given us this stewardship to present the glorious claims of Jesus Christ. And Father, it is your work in and through us. And so use us, we pray. Build us up and lead us forward, all for your great glory and your name. And minister to us now, Father, as we anticipate, as the gathered people of God, to worship you in all of your awe. We thank you now for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.